Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today with the question for the issue at hand, what if the government is wrong? Across America today, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing Christians that are being persecuted and prosecuted, pastors being fined, threatened with legal action, sued, even put in jail. In America? Is that possible in America? Who would ever have dreamed, believed it possible by any stretch of the imagination in a once great nation as America that we would find churches prosecuted and persecuted, and with those believing that somehow, some way, churches are wrong, pastors are wrong, Christians are wrong, if we stand up and say no? I want us to understand God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and he did so in that order. But he did not create government for government to crush the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not create government for government to come in and tell the church that you do not have the authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a lot of tin-horn dictators today that want to be tyrants. That are trying to force their beliefs and positions on the populace and saying that churches are non-essential, non-essential. And yet you have the abortion clinics, which is murder by way of abortion. You have the pot shops and the liquor stores that are open, and somehow churches are non-essential. Our nation is in the firm grip today, ladies and gentlemen, of the socialist Marxist Democrats who are determined to change America politically, socially, economically, spiritually, and to force we the people simply because they want us to be subjects to them, and they're the tyrant dictators, and we're the peasant subjects, that we're to simply bow and lick the boots and say we're going to close the churches and we're going to obey and do nothing about it. I am shocked, I am saddened, and I'm gravely concerned to see people that are staring in the eyes of the headlights and not recognizing the peripheral as to what is taking place. We need to ask the question, who's benefiting most for this? Who's benefiting most for the shutdown? Who's going to benefit most in the future for the shutdown? Certainly not the American workers. We're bankrupting America. We have about 35 million that's out of work today. We have about 35 million that have no jobs and no way to put food on the table except for the doling out of the handout on the socialist Marxist system of giving them funds to sit in the chair and do nothing, and that's not even enough to take care of the bills. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a major declension today when somehow, some way, we've been caused to be fearful of what the government says and bow and bend. In fact, there was Attorney General William Barr that said we need to come out from under the bed and stop being fearful. In fact, the government can control the minds and the hearts and the lives of human beings in any nation if that nation's governance can be a dictatorial government and can force the people to be fearful of the government. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, you do. Your caller who talked about Romans 13 seemed like a man of goodwill, and I would commend to him the understanding that people such as yourself who are correct on that issue have, which is an unjust law, is no law at all. There's a Latin phrase that says the unjust law is no law at all. And I would remind him and all of your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, that we live in America, and it was unlawful from his standpoint, your caller on Romans 13, from his interpretation of the Bible, for us to even be a nation to start with. We were lawfully a colony of England. And by his thought process, there would be no America. There were some people who felt that way, and they left their homes in America and went to Canada, to the Caribbean. They went back to Mother England, and they said, oh, we're fearful. We're not going to have a great country. We're going to give up. We're going to do what the king says. We're going to be ruled by him. Well, that is a very, very, very improper interpretation of Scripture, in my view. If the Bible says plainly that the law has to, I think the word is further the kingdom of God and inhibit it. Thank you for your broadcast.
Thank you so much. You're exactly right. In fact, there's some, as our caller just made mention, there's some that think that America should have never broken away from the crown. And in fact, Dr. John MacArthur is one of them. I'm reading out of a book called written by Dr. Wayne Grudem. It's called Politics According to the Bible on page 88, the latter portion. The subsection, is it ever right to attempt to overthrow an existing government or obtain freedom from an existing government? And the article says, the writer says, some Christian writers have argued that position. For instance, Dr. John MacArthur argues that rebellion against the British crown and declaring independence was contrary to the clear teachings and commands of Romans 13, 1 through 7. Therefore, according to John MacArthur, the United States was actually born out of a violation of the New Testament principle, and any blessings that God has bestowed on America have come in spite of that disobedience by the founding fathers. And this writer, which is Dr. Wayne Grudem, says, but I disagree with that viewpoint. I am convinced, after studying the historical situation and the principles of all of Scripture, that the American Revolution was morally justified in the sight of God and should have been. You're exactly right, our caller. In fact, it was St. Augustine that talked about the unjust laws and the regulations thereof. It was Luther that nailed the 95 Theses on Wittenberg's door because of a disagreement with what the government was saying. And if we were to follow the idea of some in relationship to Romans 13, we would not exist as a nation today. We would not have the freedom of religion today. We would not have our Bill of Rights today that gives us absolutely the right of religious freedom. I want to know from anybody, if you have any idea of why we should somehow, some way, simply eviscerate and allow to be eviscerated our Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or the prohibiting of the free exercise thereof. And it talks about the right of the people to peacefully assemble. And all of those things, ladies and gentlemen, are being absolutely squashed today by the leftists that are wanting to destroy this form of government and stand up and put in place what I've called for 25 years a shadow government, which is the socialist Marxist leadership, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others that want to take a good crisis, that's what they're calling it, never let a good crisis go to waste. That's exactly what they're doing. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or the comment, please. We missed him. All right. Our nation is in that firm grip, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe that we need to understand that there's a possibility that the government is wrong. The question is, today's issue, is it possible? What if the government is wrong in what they're saying and doing? Yes, we have a deadly virus. Yes, the virus is something that has taken the lives of multitudes today, but no evidence whatsoever that it's more deadly than the common annual flu. In fact, Dr. Anthony Fauci in February, I believe it was February the 26th, had written an article for the American Medical Association when he made that de facto statement that the coronavirus is no more deadly than the common annual flu. But yet now he's done an about-face, and the reason behind that and the rationale behind that goes to the root of what I want to talk about on the balance of the broadcast today, is the fact that Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx both sit on the board of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they are on a basis of globalists, just as Bill Gates, with the goal of having a globalist government. We'll talk more about that later. But ladies and gentlemen, it's no more deadly than the annual flu. But Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and then Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization in January, February, and even in the early parts of March were all saying that the coronavirus would not be any more deadly than the common flu. But then they did a 180-degree turn, ladies and gentlemen. The nation is now put on lockdown. Churches are, and all small businesses are forced to close. But we had 17,000 elderly that were killed in New York City. Why? Why were they killed? It was as a result of Governor Cuomo ordering that all COVID-19 elderly be put in nursing homes, and yet the U.S. Navy ship Comfort was with 1,000 beds was right there in the harbor of New York waiting for patients, and they did not do that. In fact, here's an article that says, the worldwide lockdown likely the greatest mistake in all of history. It goes on to say the idea that the worldwide lockdown of virtually every country other than Sweden may have been an enormous mistake strikes many, including world leaders. Most scientists, especially health officials, doctors, and epidemiologists, those who work in the major news media, opinion writers, and those in other media, and the hundreds of millions, if not billions of people who put their faith in these people as so preposterous as to be immoral. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, we put our faith and the folks with the white jacket that tells us what they think from a philosophical rhetoric standpoint, and then the nation is shut down. This article says, the forcible prevention of Americans from doing anything except what politicians deem essential has led to the worst economy in American history since the Great Depression in the 1930s. It's brought about hysteria and panic and fear as nothing else could have, end quote. And one of the things that has taken place, we had a decisive COVID model, which was the most devastating software mistake in all of times. This article says, and that's what we found, ladies and gentlemen. It was as a result of a software model by Professor Ferguson out of the UK that in his software model, it was from the Imperial College, he set up the data point, and it was defective data going in the fundamental of his projection, and he projected that 2.2 million would die in America lest we shut America down. And so the white jackets convinced President Trump that we needed to do that. Therefore, he gave that order to shut America down. And this model was found to be absolutely, totally, this article says, they found the model to be totally unreliable. The authors noted that when other scientists tried to replicate the findings using the same model, they failed time after time. The software engineers described the model as a buggy mess and looks more like a bowl of angel hair pasta than a finely tuned piece of programming, this article says. And it goes on to talk about what Professor Ferguson had done in relationship to that. Ferguson issued a clarification later by way of Twitter. He says, without those controls, our assessments remain that the UK could see scales of death upward of 500,000 in the UK, 2.2 million in America. Article says, yet Ferguson's projections became part of the basis not for social distancing and isolation of the sick, but for imposing a lockdown-style measure for all jurisdictions, including America. And ladies and gentlemen, it was the model that he set up that Americans used, and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization being promulgated and prompted and pushed by China, which is the source of the Wuhan virus that's killed so many today. But ladies and gentlemen, you go back and look at the numbers. Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Oregon, and Colorado are now being pushed to come up and clarify their numbers. And I would venture to say, when everything is clarified and all is done and said, we will have at this moment less deaths from the coronavirus than the deaths of last year and the year before and thus far this year's death for the common flu. But yet we've been put on lockdown and shut down as a result of a faulty model. Here's an article that is very vital. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx used the Imperial College model, now confirmed as completely fraudulent. You hear me? And yet we have those that want to insist that the churches should shut down, that the churches should bow and bend to a governmental edict that says the churches are non-essential in a society in which we're living today. And yet we have those that are dying as a result of suicide, those that are dying as a result of alcohol overdose and abuse, those that are dying as a result of pot overdose and abuse, those that are dying because of domestic violence. One article I read where a six-year-old boy was tied to a bed in his basement so his mother and father could go out and find work, and found him dead as a result of being tied to a bed in his basement. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the results of this lockdown in America today. Is it possible? What if the government is wrong? This article says Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx used Imperial College model, which was confirmed to be completely fraudulent. This article says Dr. Tony Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx used the Imperial College model to persuade President Trump, to lock down the entire U.S. economy. The fraudulent model predicted 2.2 million American deaths for the coronavirus pandemic. The authors of the Imperial College model shared their findings with the White House Coronavirus Task Force in early March. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, then met with the President Trump privately and urged him to shut down the U.S. economy and destroy the record Trump economy that he had built. A critique of the Imperial College model finds the study is completely unusable for any scientific purposes at all. This article says the model was a total sham. Yet Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci pushed the garbage model on the White House and the American public and destroyed the U.S. economy. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to ask the question. It begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Why would they do such a thing? Now, I don't say to you that they knew for a fact that it was a fraudulent model. They bought into the fraudulent model, ladies and gentlemen, because it met the criteria of what they wanted to accomplish and the goals that they had for the United States of America and following the Bill Gates mandate, the Bill Gates idea of what the world should look like. Keep in mind, Bill Gates, some question, is he a philanthropist or a eugenist? I'm looking at an article that says Bill Gates co-founded Microsoft and has billions of dollars, according to Wikipedia. Gates is an American business magnate, software developer, investor, and philanthropist. What qualifications does the founder of a trillion-dollar software behemoth have to be a leader in global health and vaccines? The answer to that's none. Nevertheless, the mainstream media and the teleprompter readers, anchors, if you will, were thrilled, especially in the light of the February announcement that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was committing an additional $100 million to the COVID-19 outbreak. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is one of the world's largest, having some $50 billion in assets. And Bill Gates is not a scientist. Bill Gates is not a medical professional. But you can go back as far as 2002 and 2012, and Gates sold an estimated $22 billion in Microsoft stock, contributed only $3.7 billion of that to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It was set up, ladies and gentlemen, to avoid prosecution and the levying on his funds as a result of the Microsoft debacle that wound up in court. I'll not take the time to go into the details of that, but since 2015, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has donated some $15 million to two goals in their campaign, and that is to control the GMO farming around the globe, and secondly, to control the population on the globe. The Bill and Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, are simply there, and they've been around the globe trying to control the population. They do so by faulty, flagrantly deadly vaccines on the face of the globe. Every place that they've gone and introduced their vaccines, it's killed people. It's called people to be paralyzed for life and are totally sterilizing the females that take their injections. This article says August 2014, the Economy Times in India published a report which alleged that the observational studies, that is the vaccine experiments, had been carried out on 30,000 tribal school children in India using HPV vaccines. And within a month of receiving the vaccine, hundreds of children became sick, seven children died, and shockingly, the report stated that many of the consent forms used to vaccinate the girls were signed illegally, either by wardens from the hostels that they were living in, residing in, or the thumbprints of illiterate parents that couldn't even write but were forced to put their thumbprints on the document. The Indian government investigators charged that the Bill and Melinda Gates-funded research committed pervasive ethical violations, pressuring vulnerable village girls in the tribe, bullying parents, forging consent forms, and refusing medical care to the injured girls. However, after these adverse reactions became known, a report funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was released explaining that there was no correlation between the adverse effects and the events of the HPV vaccine. Child is fine, child gets vaccinated, child gets sick, then the child dies, and you say there's no correlation, this writer says. In 2000, the oral polio vaccine, called the OPV, was finally dropped from the U.S. schedule after our decades when the authorities finally admitted that the vaccine was causing more cases of polio than the wild-type virus itself. However, despite this fact, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has involved itself in an aggressive campaign to promote the OPV in India. As a result of that, a small village in India and then also in Africa, 500 children were locked into the schools, treated with the vaccine, even though they didn't agree. The vaccine was an unlicensed accident taking place, if you want to call it that, this writer says. Then they would receive no further education. They were told if you didn't take the vaccine, couldn't have any further education. The humanitarian workers proceeded to force to vaccinate the children without the parents' consent or knowledge. Within hours, 100 children began to suffer from headaches, vomiting, severe uncontrollable convulsions, paralysis. Dozens of children were transferred to the hospital and later taken by plane to two other hospitals. South African newspaper complained, "We're guinea pigs for the drugs of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation." What group was in charge of the vaccination and the disaster that had taken place and the crimes against Chad in that time? That's right. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funded the distribution of the meningitis vaccine. Chad, where dozens of children suffered hallucinations, convulsions, eventual paralysis, and even death. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Gates is now wanting to, or in conjunction with that, I should say, Bill Gates is wanting to vaccinate 7 billion people on the face of the globe. Bill Gates says that the globe has too many people and needs to be thinned out. He wants to reduce the world's population by about 100 million people. About 100 million people. That's a drop in the bucket. He comes out of a eugenist background. His father was an attorney and the heading up of the Planned Parenthood of his era. And Bill Gates has known nothing but the fact that we need to reduce the population. He claims that he wants to preserve Mother Earth. He wants to see it a green earth, as he calls it. He's bought up hundreds of thousands of acres of land in central Georgia, south Georgia, and northern Florida. He's the one that is part of the ownership and the leadership in major companies that are producing the GMOs, that is the genetically modified seed, and they're wanting to plant those seed, and the farmers grow those around the globe so that you can keep in mind that seed will make a plant, but it will not produce other seed, will not produce other seed. It'll produce the plant, it'll produce the fruit, but will not produce other seed. Bill Gates is wanting to control the seed around the globe for future tense. He has a seed bank in Sweden where he controls, owns and controls the seed of just about every known plant on the face of the earth, and he's protecting himself for the future to be the go-to person when there are the days of the famine. But the major thing that Bill Gates is wanting to accomplish today, ladies and gentlemen, is to be the one that comes up with the vaccine that in his vaccine that he's already perfected and wanting the federal government to utilize is a vaccine that will chip every human being that accepts that chip. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the harbinger of things to come, because my Bible says that in the days of the Antichrist, that's in the days of the tribulation, after the church is raptured out of this old world, that the Antichrist will require every human being on the face of the globe to be chipped in the head or the hand, or they will not be able to buy or sell, or as I put it today, open their own business as a result of it. But Andrew Neapolitano perhaps asked the most famous question or the most serious question that I've used as the title of this broadcast today, what if the government is wrong? Let me just read you, and it's going to take a moment to do so, read you his statement, which I think is phenomenal and ought to be recognized by everyone listening. Yes, even the ones listening that believe that somehow, some way, we should bow and bend and lick the boots of the tyrants that say that the churches cannot open, with the premise that if we don't, we're disobeying God because we're disobeying government. Well, if it's a law that is antithetical to the Word of God, we ought to say, no, not on my watch. And Judge Andrew Neapolitano says this, what if the government is wrong? What if the government has it wrong on the medication and the law? What if the mask for that? What if face mask can't stop the COVID-19? What if quarantining the healthy makes no medical sense? What if staying at home for months reduces your immunity? What if more people have been infected with the virus in their homes than outside their homes? And ladies and gentlemen, that's a absolute medical scientific fact. What if there are as many credible scientists and physicians who disagree with the government as those who agree with it? What if the government chooses to listen only to scientists and physicians who would tell them what they want to hear? What if the government silences scientists and physicians and even fires one who attempts to tell it what it doesn't want to hear? What if the government wants to stoke fear in the populace because mass fear produces compliance? What if the government, what if the individual fear reduces individual immunity? What if a healthy immunity gets stronger when challenged? What if a pampered immunity gets weaker when challenged? What if we all pass germs and viruses that we don't even know we have? On the other hand, at all times, but their immune system repels that we pass on to them. What if the COVID-19 virus has run its course and run into a natural immunities? What if many folks that have symptom-free episodes with many viruses and now immune from them? What if the government refuses to understand this because it undermines the government's power to control we the people? What if the government orders the nursing homes and assisted living facilities to keep the sick and the contagious and are insane? What if the same government that mismanages nursing homes and assisted living facilities knows that they are not hospitals and are not equipped to cure the sick or the contagious, contain the contagions? What if the government makes health care decisions on the basis of medicine or human nature but statistics? What if its reliance on government statistics have made many folks sick rather than healthy? What if we've been the healthier and happier if we make our own choices with our own physicians rather than the government making choices for us? What if it's un-American for the government to tell us how to care for ourselves? What if it's equally un-American for you to follow government when it intrudes on your personal choices? And he further says in this elongated article, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe this is so vital for us to hear. What if the Supreme Court has ruled many times that your health care decisions are private, personal, and to be made between you and your physician? What if the Supreme Court has also ruled many times that your private health care decisions are none of the government's business? What if we never elected the government to keep us free from all viruses, but we did elect it to keep us free from all tyrants? What if the government, which can deliver the mail, fill potholes, stop robocalls, or spend within its income, is the last entity on earth into whose hands we would voluntarily repose our health for safekeeping? What if the government won't admit that its understanding of science is colored by its politics? What if the government has misunderstood its mandate? What if the government thinks that it can do the job of keeping us safe but yet unfree? What if, according to the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, government's first duty is to safeguard our rights, protect our liberties? What if there is no legal basis for the government to keep us at home or to close our businesses across America? What if the government gave itself the power to interfere with our personal choices? What if the self-imposed powers violates the basic constitutional principle that government derives its powers from the consent of the government? What if no one consented to the government that interferes with our personal choices? What if our personal choices to take personal chances have never needed a government permission slip to begin with? What if our Constitution was written to restrain government? What if all government, local, state, and federal, have taken an oath to uphold and comply with the Constitution? What if the government decrees that liquor stores and liquor sales are essential, but clothing sales are out? What if the government decrees that abortions are essential, but orthopedic surgery is not? What if the government decrees that music stores are essential, but the free exercise of religion is not essential? What if these decisions about what is essential and inessential are for individuals and not for government to make? What if the barbershop or the barber or the short order cook, retail salesperson, barbershop and luncheonettes and clothing stores are essential? What if those who love God to free exercise religion is essential in the last place anyway? What if our founding fathers and our founding constitutional framers chose liberty over safety? What if government doesn't like that choice? What if government only nominally endorses it? What if the pandemic is over? The government retains its tyrannical powers. What if when the pandemic is over, folks sue the government for its destruction of life, liberty, and property, only to learn that the government gave itself immunity from such lawsuits? What if, when the pandemic is over, the government refuses to acknowledge its end? What if, as Thomas Jefferson said, a blood of patriots should be spilled on the tree of revolution at least once every generation? What if we nullify the government that has nullified all of our constitutional rights and liberties? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we